Now's when the fun starts to begin. Before lunch, I'm sorry to do this to you.
No, this is great. No,
yeah, this is great. I know they can handle this. This is great. We got to talk about objects. We're going to talk about objects and what objects are. And I'm going to let Jeffrey talk as much about objects as he wants to talk about.
Yeah. So let me just show you something here. So we've been lying to you. It's true.
No, I'm leaving.
So here, we've been saying get service, B star, okay? And what do you see, right? And what you see is text, okay? But that's not what's really going on. What's really going on is when I do get service, notice I didn't say get service text, I just said get service. So what I'm actually getting is I'm getting service objects or service controller objects, okay? And the point of that, now don't freak out when you hear the word object, right? Some people hear the word object and they're like, oh my God, you're like, I'm not a developer. No, my friends, no. Objects dramatically simplify your life. Okay? Now, what is an object? Okay, let's just try to deal with that, right? Simple.
Because I'm over here freaking out going, no. But they're going to simplify my life. Okay, yeah. I'm good.
So one of the, I think it was an MVP or someone at TechEd did a great explanation of objects. They said, look, an object is just a thing, right? It's a noun that has properties and methods. So think about a bicycle, right? A bicycle is an object and it has properties. It has handlebars, it has pedals, it has wheels, okay? And then there are things you can do to it. So an object has things it has, we call those properties. It has a handlebar, it has a wheel, it has a frame, and there are things it can do. You can pedal, you can steer, and we call those things methods. So objects are merely things that have properties and things you can do things to.
Okay, I like that so far. I like that.
So here, we show this thing, and what actually happens is I got a set of objects. Now, the trick is, and here's the magic, is that we spew these objects out, and we can then work on them. And when they finally get to the display says, oh, I got an object. What the hell am I going to do with that? Like, there's no way I'm going to burp out this, like, binary stuff, and people are going to figure it out. So what the display does is says, oh, well, now I'll convert it to an object. Or convert it to text. And the whole point about that is you want to delay the conversion of text as far as possible, as long as possible. Because once you have text, it's really hard to operate with. Now, you Unix guys, anybody with a Unix background, you know what I'm talking about, right? Because imagine, now let's go back to get process. I love get process. So get process star SS. Okay? Now, imagine you wanted to get all those things where the handles were greater than, let's say, 700. Let's do this. Get process. Okay, so you see there's a bunch of these things, and some of them are high. So say you wanted to get all those that were greater than 1,000. How would you do it? Well, in Unix, if this is text, okay, it's text, how do you do that? Well, let's see. You got to cut off 1, 2, 3 lines, and then you got to go and you say, well, I'm going to cut off from 0 to, let's see, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got to cut off these first 7 characters, and then what do you get? And the answer is a string. And so how do you do a string comparison that's greater than 1,000? Well, you could, 1,000 is actually easy. You could say, well, if the string truncate all the spaces, and then if the length is greater than 3,
right,
then it's greater than 1,000.
Right.
But if you wanted to do it greater than 900, well, then you got to sum. Okay, so you get where I'm going. You Unix guys, you know, hats off to you. I don't know how the heck you've been coping all these years. I mean, it really is. We call this prayer-based parsing, right?
Like, please work.
Exactly. And oddly, you know, it sort of worked fine. But in our world, you don't have to do that. In our world, you have these objects. Okay, now the thing is, when I do get process, I'm displaying an object. Each row is the object itself, and each one of these displays here, each one of the columns, reflects the properties. Okay? So what did I tell you? I told you we're trying to create a world where you think about what you want, you type it, and you get it. And the way that works is because of objects. Okay, so what did I say? I said I wanted to get the processes, I wanted to get those where the handle count was greater than 900.
700 or, yeah, whatever.
Some number. You pick your favorite number. Okay. So I want to say where the handles, okay, remember, where did I get handles? Right there, handles. Okay, so where handles are greater than 900. And voila, it worked. Why did it work? Because of objects. Objects are so cool. So this is still a little bit messy here, right? Because these handles, I mean, look at them. They're all kind of like all over the place, right? So really what I want to do is I wanted to sort them. Now, how are they going to, again, you cut off three lines and you do this. And again, it's strings.
No,
it's an object. So what you can do is, again, think about what you want, type it, and you get it. You would say, well, I want to sort it by handles.
Ta-da.
And then you get it, okay?
If you're starting to get the concept here, this is starting to become totally awesome. Look at the difference of working with objects. One thing that you can do to start off is to show that these are objects. Is I'm just going to grab a service real quick, and if you want to take a look at what properties, and notice when I run just get service name bits, notice that there are three. What appear to be properties displayed about this server. But you know what? I'm pretty sure there's more properties than just these three on a service. And you know, I'm not seeing any methods here. But Jeffrey just said that objects have properties and they have methods. Well, there's a way to show you everything that an object has. And it's going to become a crucial part to working with PowerShell. So how do you find out what properties and methods an object has? You pipe it to a very special command, and I'm gonna get member. Now, I gotta be honest with you, get member, we usually use the alias for this, so I'm just gonna use the alias, pipe gm. And then you'll just hear me say, pipe gm. When you pipe something to get member, it takes the object and it shows you all the methods. So think of it this way, it's kind of like if I were to walk in front of a mirror, the mirror shows me things like, well, you're 6'2", you're blonde, you've got blue eyes, you're built really well, And you have methods. You have methods like you surf and you like karate. What do you think of my mirror?
That's awesome. I need one of those.
Yeah, obviously my mirror does not work well, but the PowerShell mirror, being get member, works very well. So let me just show you. If you take a look here, there's a couple of pieces of information you're going to want to pull out from get member. First of all, what kind of object it is. This is going to become very important to us after lunch. What kind of object is
this?
Move
your screen over a little bit. It's getting truncated a little bit.
Oh, yeah, let me get this. Woo! Does that look better? Perfect. There we go. So, system.service process. What you really are interested in right now is this period and what comes after it, service controller. That's what kind of object is being sent across that pipeline. And then look at this list. Anything with the word property in it. I don't care if it has some other word in front of it or something. Anything with a property is a property that you can use and look at specifically. Like Jeffrey was doing handles on get process. Look at all these properties down through here. We're gonna start off working quite a bit with properties, but you also have methods. Methods like, oh look, start and stop. Get service has a method to start and stop a service. We don't need a commandlet necessarily because we have a method that we could use. And we'll show you how to do that too. So get member is your friend to show you the truth or what an object actually contains for its properties and its methods. Let me give you an example. Using kind of off of Jeffrey's example, I'm going to do get service. And here's what I want to do. I want to just select a couple of properties. The properties that I want to see right now are name and status. We have a commandlet called select object. Now you usually see this as its alias of select. And let me just show you, it has a parameter called property and you can tell me what properties you now want to see. Well, if I've gone to get member and I've looked at the list of properties and I've chosen the ones that I wanted, I just type them in. I just want name, status. So I've selected those particular properties. Now, I also want you to notice, and Jeffrey just did an example of this. I'm going to do get child item, or the alias dir is a great example. Here's a list of files out of my C drive, files and folders. Right now, look at how it's sorting them by name, and it's sorting them, well, it looks to be alphabetically to me. Well, I want to change the sort. I'd like to sort them by length. And the only thing I want displayed is name and length. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do get child item. I'm going to select that the properties I want to see are name and length. And this is right off of the example that Jeffrey was doing. I want to sort that by the property length. This pipeline and the fact that objects are crossing the pipeline and I can work with these properties and methods, making my life a lot easier. Look at that. It's folders first and then it's the files. But you know what? Notice on my files, it's small z's to big z's. I want it big z's to small z's. In other words, I want it descending. So let me hit my up arrow key and the sort object has a descending. So now I can change the sort order and make it descending. Is that kind of cool? That's kind of cool. You know, working with the object. So working with objects is all about using get member. And we've shown you that you can do sort and you can do a select, and we're going to do these quite a bit of selecting and sorting. But there's some other examples. Let's see here. Keep in mind, get process. When you need to know more about an object, this is very important. When you need to know more about an object, because this afternoon, we're going to need to know more about an object, you pipe to GM, which is get member. You'll get the type of object it is, which we're going to need this later, and you get all of its properties and its methods. And if it has the word property in it, you can use it with sort and select like we just showed you that you could use it with. In fact, it's kind of interesting. There's all kinds of stuff you can do. So back to an earlier example, get event log. Ooh, log name system, and we're going to do newest. Let's just do newest 5. And I want to, if I just run this, you can see I'm getting all this information across here. I'd like to take a look at the object itself. So what I'm going to do is, because I want to see what all the properties are, I'm going to pipe it to GM. Wow, there's a lot more properties out here than I was seeing in the original display. Time generated, time written. So you know what I think I'd like? I think I'd like event ID and time generated. And I think I would like, what else would be a good property? Maybe, message. That would be perfect. That would be perfect. So I'm going to up arrow, select the property event ID. Yep, comma. And if you take a look at the help file, you'll see that dash property takes multiple values. So I can do time generated or time written. Let's do time written. I think I can type that one.
You can hit tab.
I could hit
version 3.
Version 3.
Why you should go to version 3? Because you can hit tab.
See, I just hit tab and it made my life much easier in typing. So now I've selected those. There we go. And now I'd actually like to sort them on the time written. Now, guys, this is a VM, so there's not a whole lot of stuff out here, but you get the idea. I'm going to sort on the property of, okay, now I'm not getting my tab time written. And voila. And if I want to sort it descending, I can sort it descending. But now that I'm understanding the pipeline, I know how to find the properties that I want, not just the ones that I saw in the display, but I can find all of the properties and then just select the ones I want and sort the ones I want. Now that I have what I want, well, I don't want it on the screen. I want it converted to an HTML file. Ooh. And I just love this. SQL errors.htm. And actually, this will take a UNC. The out file will take a UNC, so you just throw it to a web server. Did I mention I was a web guy? And so here's the deal. So I've got this great one-liner right now that's grabbing the errors. And right now it's from the local machine, but I can throw dash computer and we can get it from multiple machines. It's selecting out just the information I want. It's sorting it the way that I want. It's stuffing it into a web file. I can now tell the other admins, hey, when you get up in the morning, go check the web page. And if there's any errors in there, start trying to fix them. Because as you're going to see later, we're going to automate this and schedule this and make this go for us so I don't have to type it again. So once I figured it out. But you can see this is like figuring out a puzzle. And just to show you that it actually worked, what did I call it? Error? HTML. Ta-da, woohoo! There's a woohoo even from the guys in the back. So you must...
It's all good.
You must be a little impressed with that. What else should we show them with objects right now?
Okay, so here's the thing about objects. I mentioned to you that objects dramatically simplify your life. It's true. Okay, so here's the thing. What we've been showing you are .NET objects. Now, these .NET objects are actually very well-behaved objects. But, you know, the world is a messy place, and not everybody has your best interests in mind. And so in particular, there's a lot of people who use .NET in a way that is good for them, but not good for you. Okay? And in particular, what they do is they hide things. And this is ubiquitous, right? This happens in WMI, it happens in ADSI, Active Directory, happens in XML, etc. Now, PowerShell, we got exactly one customer, and that's you. Okay? So I am focusing on making your life great. Okay? And so what we do is we go and we say, these guys didn't help you, we'll help you, right? We will take their stuff and we'll adapt it for your needs. Now, let me just give you an example of this, okay? So here I have, I've got this XML file, okay? So rnd.j. So let's see if I can actually bring that up. So can I do this? Open, can I do an open?
PowerShell.org, yeah, we'll talk about that. That's cool.
We are, but let's see, can I do an open? Okay, yeah, so I want to say C, jumpstart, slash R, and here's my XML, and it is the Tragedy of Romeo and Juliet.
Oh,
it's beautiful. And look here, so you got personas, you got acts, and in the acts, you've got speeches, and you got speakers, and you got lines, okay? Now, by the way, this next thing that I'm going to show you the way to do it in PowerShell version 3, okay? In PowerShell version 2, you can do it, but it's harder, and the stuff I'm going to show you requires version 3. Okay, so we have this thing, we'll call it $X, and what we're going to do is we're going to cat that file. Cat is the same as get content, but remember I said I'm an old Linux guy, or old Unix guy. So I'm going to say cat rnd, and what I'm going to do here is I'm going to cast it, something called casting it, as XML. So I'm going to copy this file, and I'm going to cast it as XML. And now I have this object, $X, which contains the XML. Okay, now this is really .XML, right? So if I did, the way you can tell that is you can type get type, and you can see it's an XML document. Okay, so this is XML. Now, Adam, have you ever worked with XML?
Not in its raw form.
It's hideous.
Oh my God.
It's hideous. It is like kicking a dead whale along the beach, you know? All sorts of effort and nothing ever happens. It's just hideous, but not in PowerShell, right? And so in PowerShell, again, I map this hideous world to your world, right? So remember, what does this thing look like? Like blah, 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 blah. Right? Okay, well here, when I said, oh, I see $X.play, okay? Oh, look at that. So then here are the acts. Oh, look at that.
Oh,
and so I could say, well, hey, give me act 0 and give me the scene. And here are all the scenes. And then I can say, hey, scene 0, give me the speech. And there are all the speeches. Okay? Okay? Look at that. Isn't that cool or what? Now, wait. It gets better. Here, if I get rid of this index, so remember, it gave me a set of things, and I selected the first one. So now what I'm going to do, and because PowerShell version 3, I can go and I say, hey, I want all the scenes, and I want all the acts. And it gives you them all. Okay, now, if you remember, let me just do something. Just select first one. Okay, so now what I can do is I can say, hey, I would like to group them by the speaker, and I would like to sort them by count. And if you're in theater, you definitely want to be Romeo,
right?
That's and not the third musician, because the third musician has exactly one speech, whereas Romeo has 163. Now let's just think about this a second. So here I have this XML, and the point is that there's a bunch of XML in the world, right? Like, you didn't ask for it, but somebody decided, hey, I'm going to give you some XML. Thank you so much. But and so it's like, like what? This hideous, horrible world. And again, if you've ever dealt with XML, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But what we do is we're able to, by the way, if I wanted to get the history of things that I typed, you would type get history, okay? And so here are the things that I typed. So what I did was I got the content of that file and I cast it to XML here, somewhere. Here, right? And then I showed you that it was an XML document here. And then you're able to ask for the play. We were able to see that it had an act. I drilled into act one. I saw that it had scenes. I drilled into scene one and saw that it had speeches, and I got that speech. And then I removed all those, and I got all the speeches. And then I selected the first one to find out what the properties of that speech were. I saw that it had a speaker, and so I grouped it by speaker and sorted it by count. And it's that simple.
And what's really amazing about this is notice that we're utilizing the pipeline and we're building these results as we move along. We're utilizing the objects because it's an object-based pipeline. And so even
actually, you know what? He's right. If you're in version 2, we didn't use the pipeline, but that is actually the point. In version 2, you would have had to use the pipeline. Back from this, when we did this,
right,
to get everything, what you would have had to have done was something like, because we fixed it, right? You would have had done something like, let's see, I think it was this, you would have to say, through select minus expand scene, I think I even got that wrong, through select minus expand speech, and yeah. I did get this wrong. Anyway, so a bunch of pipelines, very, very powerful stuff. And in version 3, we simplified it with the dot syntax.
And the dot syntax you're going to see quite a bit today as we start utilizing it. But combining that along with the pipeline really makes it very powerful. Now, a couple of other things that Jeffrey was showing you that I want to highlight, and we're going to need this information for this afternoon. So, along with working with objects, Jeffrey also showed you a filter. So, let me give you an example. Get service. We have a commandlet called where object. Now, where object is a way for you to filter out only the data that you want to see. Usually, you'll see it abbreviated down to where. That's using the alias that way. Now, there is a parameter called filter script that has a couple of squigglies. Whatever happens in the squigglies is your filter. Now, I'm going to show you a couple of ways to write a filter because this is what you're going to see on the internet. First of all, almost nobody uses the parameter name filter script. So it's the squigglies. I want you to see something. This is a special symbol. Now, we're going to talk about variables later, but the dollar sign is a special indicator for you. And in this case, dollar sign underscore means the current object crossing the pipeline. Now, notice I've got get service. That's got a whole bunch of objects. We're gonna send one at a time across the pipeline. I wanna grab hold of that for a second because I wanna do something to it. It's stored in dollar sign underscore. Now, in V3, there's another way that we can show you to do this, but hang on a sec, let me show you. I wanna look at the property status, and if it's equal to running. As a filter, I want you to think about this. This is going to filter out only the things that equal to running. Now, I know you might be saying, well, what the devil is this EQ over here? Why isn't it equals?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Bruce Payette, superstar, rock star, wrote this great book, PowerShell in Action, where he goes and describes all the reasons why we made the language choices. So if you ever get to the point where you're asking deep questions like this, Bruce's book, PowerShell in Action, is the book to answer it. Here's the thing. We struggled with this one over and over and over again, honestly. As we started and designed the language in the system, we struggled with saying, hey, we want to be interactive and programmatic. See, in Linux, where we had all Unix, where we had come from, you have these big separations, right? Mm-hmm. You start off with one tool, and then that tool fails you, and so you got to throw everything away, and you got to pick up another tool, right? You try and write it in the shell script; it's not powerful enough, so you throw that away and start writing it in awk and grep and sed. That's not powerful enough, so you throw that away, and then you use it in Perl, and that's powerful enough, but it's too slow. So then you throw it away and you pick up and write it in C.
Right.
So that's my joke, right? Unix is a sequence of failed tools. What we wanted to do was to have one tool that would work whether you wanted to do it interactively or you wanted to do this rich systems programming level. And it turns out that's hard. Never been done before. And we did it. And honestly, we just struggled with this. Hey, turns out there's a reason why interactive shells have a syntax the way they do. There's a reason why programming languages have the language, the syntax that they do. And so we struggled with this, and so we were able to finally get this nice match between those two. And part of the ramification of that was, one of the ramifications of that was that we needed to use, by the way, when we chose a programming language, we chose the C style. So there's C, C++, right. C#. So we chose that style of things. That's why you have squiggle brackets versus begin and end, or do and done, or do and OD.
Always confuse me.
Yeah, exactly.
I like the terse kind of language.
Exactly. And programmers do too. And by the way, guess who's going to write most of your commandlets? It's the programmers. So you want a world that's friendly to them. So that's what we did, and it turned out that from the grammar, from the parser, if you had equals there, it got ambiguous. And we tried and tried and tried, and you couldn't resolve that one thing, and so that's why we have -eq.
And let me show you guys, I'll show this to you a couple of ways. -eq means equals, and so as you can see, I'm just getting the services that are, I filtered out the ones that are stopped, just the ones that are equal. But here's the important thing. You know, these are redirect characters, like file redirect in a shell, in a console. You can't use them. So they created, and you can find these by doing get help, they're comparison operators. So you can either do it by looking for comparison. You'll find the help file for it, which is about _ comparison operators that lists all of these. And you're going to see a lot of them in here. Or to see all the operators, get help on operators. Because this, you're going to see us use these. You've got arithmetic assignment comparison operators. Let me just show you a couple of quick examples with this on this filter. So I've got status equals running. Let me show you the V3 way to write this. Now, it's important that you get used to seeing it as $_, because you can see it on the internet this way. And guys like me still use it that way, but there's a new way to write this called PS item, which makes a little bit more sense to a lot of folks, that this is holding the current item crossing that pipeline. So get used to seeing it. It works the same way as $_, as you can see, it'll come across. You're gonna notice that I'm probably gonna use $_ because that's just what I'm used to using, but PS item works. But we can extend this filter even further. I want it that it is equal to running and $_, and the name is like, and when you use like, now you can use wildcard. So I want it like B star, and I think I have some services that, So this filter now lets me filter down data. Now, I need you to think about something. I'm going to do some pseudocode. Somebody's going to yell at me when I do this. The pseudocode means it's not really doing anything. So get stuff, sort, then where I just want some stuff, and then out to a file. Now, let me write this another way. Get stuff. By the way, don't try that commandlet. It doesn't work. Where, which I can't spell, some stuff, sort, and then out file. Which do you think is going to be the best performing way to write this? And if you think about it, think about what's actually happening here. I'm getting stuff. And then in the first one, I am sorting it. I'm sorting all of it. It's all sorted. And then I'm handing it to a filter that goes, yeah, but I just wanted this. Throw the rest of it away. Thanks for all your hard work. Have a nice day. As opposed to the second one, which is get stuff. Well, I just want this. Uh-huh. And now sort it. Done. So it does matter where you filter and where you sort. We refer to this as you filter as far left as you possibly can. And you can see examples today where the where object may not be the filter that's furthest left. As a matter of fact, you see some cool examples today where you want to keep in mind filters far left, and sometimes that's with the commandlet that's starting the process. So, you know, Jeffrey, I think we're at about meal time.
Yeah, you know, so by the way, so this where command is something that you're going to want to spend some time with. That is one of the most powerful things, like, on the face of the planet.
You guys are going to have questions after this. Now, I'm going to give you some references to go to. As a matter of fact, Don's got a great book out there that you're really going to want to take a look at, and I'm going to mention a little bit later on. But when you have questions, when you have things that are burning desires for PowerShell, I have a place for you to go. And since Don is here, let me just show it to you, if I can figure out how to work Windows here. Here we go. I'm so used to the PowerShell stuff, I forget the... So there's this place called PowerShell.org. And look, this is a centralized place for you to find a ton of resources, but one of the most important things out there is when you go out here, you'll see the forums. You can go out there and you can ask questions and you can get answers. And a lot of MVPs and a lot of super gurus are out there. And it'd be even be great if someday you decide to help answer some questions. But we've got forums, we've got free ebooks out there to help you with some of the specialized topics that we're going to be getting into today.
Free. PowerShell, people's favorite word in the world.
Free. Also, I want to point out that we've got articles. There is a PowerShell summit, so there's information on the summit. We got a new summit coming up, and tickets are going to go on sale. And I'm not trying to be a sales guy or anything, just letting you know. And also, one of the podcasts, the Power Scripting podcast, it has a ton of information, especially over the last 5 years of PowerShell and the Power Scripting podcast is out there, and an entire script repository. So go to powershell.org and ask questions after this event. Be happy to help you out. And Don's the guy in charge of this and one of the people responsible for this. So thanks, Don. Glad you're helping us out today. Before we get started into chapter 6, there were some things that we were noticing in chat that we'd like to kind of talk about and address.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so one of the questions had come up around case sensitivity. And again, whenever you wonder, hey, how does PowerShell do things, think, hey, what would somebody who's severely flawed do? Right? And of course, that's your best predictor. And so we try and be as case insensitive as possible, right? So wherever we have the opportunity, we make things case insensitive. There are, however, PowerShell commandlets, you know, other teams that require case sensitivity. If that ever happens, it'll be highlighted in the documentation. But if it's not highlighted in the documentation, you can assume case insensitivity.
That's what my wife says. She says, you're very case insensitive. I says, no, I'm very case sensitive. And she says, no, very case insensitive, very case. And then I have to show her comparison operators where you can specify. Oh. But yeah, no, I'm very sensitive. Anyways.
That almost worked.
It almost worked. So back to you, though. You wanted to do some more stuff on where.
Yeah, I wanted to party on where. Okay, so here's the thing with where, right? So originally we tried to design this where, right? So let's refresh our memory. So we have get, process, right? That's too many things. And so then what we said was we want to filter this. And so we piped this to where, right? And we have a squiggle brackets. Now, originally the way this worked was... We hired some smart guys, and we said, hey, we need SQL against objects, against live .NET objects. And they said, uh-huh. I said, go at it, my friend. This will be straightforward. And like 3 months later, they came back, and they had only done a small subset, and the syntax was wonky, and it was just clear, oh, that's why SQL has like a couple hundred guys working on this. Turns out it's a hard problem.
It's hard.
And so we took a different approach, and what we did was we threw all that code away, like 3 months of code, just threw it away, and literally, we replaced it with three lines of code, and here's the kicker.
Does that mean we can replace all the SQL guys now, too?
And it's far more powerful than SQL.
Ooh.
Basically, three lines of code, far more powerful than SQL. I'm going to prove it to you. That's pretty bold, right? So here are the three lines of code, okay? So where basically takes each object that comes in the pipeline, it assigns it to a variable. Step number one, assign it to a variable, $_underbar. Now it's $_underbar and $PSItem. We assign it to a variable. The second is we evaluate the code within the squiggle brackets. We run the code. And three, if the code returns true, we pass the object on. And if it doesn't, we throw it away. Okay, so it's that simple.
It's three lines of code.
Okay, so now notice, so that's why you're able to do things like, hey, handles greater than 1,000, okay? So we grab the current object. Notice here, the first object here is, this thing, and its handles is 82. So we take this object, which is the row, we assign it to $_underbar, and then we evaluate this. Hey, are the handles greater than 1,000? The answer is false. So you're going to see that object doesn't get passed on. If ever it's true, we then pass on the object as it is. And you see all the things are greater than 100. Now, remember the algorithm. It's important to memorize the algorithm. There are very few things that you memorize in PowerShell. This is one of them. Assign the object to $_underbar. Evaluate the code. If the code evaluates to true, pass the object on. If it evaluates to false, don't do that. Okay, now, notice I never said that you had to use the object in the expression, right? So what's that mean? So I could have said, now here, I'm going to limit this, right? I'm going to say *SS. Okay, so we're going to do a subset because it makes it a little easier. I can say where $false. Notice I didn't use $_underbar. Nothing passed on because it always evaluates to false. Notice I can say $true and it always succeeds. Okay, so what I'm really talking about, so that's literally how it works. This isn't a joke. That's literally how it works. Now, the point is, these are not very useful, and this is useful. But the thing I want to point out here is that you just run the code. The code can do anything. In this example, it's a simple expression. But you could have put a very complex expression. You could have put a script. You could have put 10 pages worth of code here. You know, calling up your mother to ask her opinion on things, looking things up in Active Directory, checking things in SQL. You can do anything you want. At the end, it has to evaluate to true or evaluate to false, and that's how it works. So it is incredibly powerful. Now, there's one other thing I want to say about where. And that is, a lot of people who begin with PowerShell look at these squiggle brackets and they said, ah, you know, it's like mouse. And so we have a very simplified version of where. Now, this isn't as rich as this where. With the squiggle brackets, you can do anything. The simplified where, you can do a very subset of things. You can do things where a property operator value. So what you do, and you don't have to have the squiggle brackets. So there you go. There's the deal. And you don't have $_underbar, right? So you get rid of that. And you can just say, where handles greater than 1,000. And voila, it works.
And I think for a lot of admins just getting started, especially with filtering, because filtering is going to be one of the most important things that you do, this simplified syntax can be really helpful at first until you get more used to the squiggly brackets. Now, like Jeffrey said, though, there are limitations there. As soon as you want to start doing multiple criteria, and as soon as you wanted to call up your mother and check with her first, that's going to require the squiggly brackets. But I really like the simplified.
Yeah, can I tell you? I use this thing all the time.
The simplified one?
Yeah, I use it all the time.
Matter of fact, when we look at doing some remoting stuff with software and that, I'll just do where installed.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to see, yeah, make it real short and sweet. So it's going to get really cool, guys. That was awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's get serious for a moment. No, maybe you ought to keep us both on screen because we both have to have this serious look on our face. We're going to go into the pipeline now, deeper.
You were committing all sorts of HR violations today. You were just like, it was Captain
Pac-Man.
Inappropriate.
Whose is a Pac-Man now?
Captain Inappropriate.
So here's the deal. What we're going to show you is something that is very advanced and... You need to know this. You need to know this. But what's going to happen is that you're going to see the concept here, and it's going to happen really quick. And then you're going to need to practice this, and you're going to have problems practicing this. So I'm going to give you a couple of references right now before we get started. First of all, you're going to want chapter 9 out of Don Jones's book, Lunches.
PowerShell in a month of lunches.
Yes, learn Windows PowerShell in a month of lunches. Chapter 9, you're going to want that chapter, and it'll take you through everything that we're going to do, and you will get a chance to try it. Now, let me tell you how important this was. I was sitting, if you guys have been to a conference before, I'm sure you have been, I was sitting in a conference, and you know, they have like tech ed, I mean, they're enormous. They put the rooms over there and rooms over here and a football field in the middle. Mm. Now, that's where all the sponsors go, but there's this giant football field, and they don't put a lot of seats in there. Mm. So you see all these people sitting up against the wall and working on stuff. Well, I was sitting up against the wall working on a problem with getting two commandlets to work together in Exchange, and I couldn't get it to work together. And I said to myself, it's a problem with the guys that wrote the commandlets. It's a problem with PowerShell. It just doesn't work. I just can't solve that problem. And not but a few moments later, you, and then shortly thereafter that, Don Jones, you taught me how to figure out how the pipeline works. And suddenly, with this knowledge, I could get that solution to work. And I guess what the moral of the story is that as soon as you understand this, the answer is you can always get it to work. So never give up. It's just, it's a little tricky at first.
Yeah, this is one of those things I used to have a physics professor who would say, this problem is simple once solved. So we're going to help you solve it. I mean, when you first look at it, you're like, what the heck? And then at some point, there'll be this moment of clarity, and then it's just super, super simple. It really is.